It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, if you've been listening and reading very much lately, you have, you're well aware of the fact that Texas Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller, you know, a couple weeks ago had proposed using the kaput warfarin rat killer poison to poison hogs. And if you've been listening to my shows in the past couple of weeks, well, you know that I've had one person in particular that's very, very knowledgeable about this is Mr. Will Herring. Will is going to be with us this morning and give you a up-to-date update on what's going on in Austin and kind of tune you in to what's being done to stop the use of, let's call kaput, but rat poison, warfarin, that's what we're talking about. And if you've been reading the newspapers around my column, you know, I've devoted a lot of time to it. It's really a major issue. And I want our guest today, Will, to be back with us today now and update everybody. I mean, he is on, probably nobody, in my opinion, in the state of Texas knows more about this situation than Will. Will, thank you very much, buddy, for being back with us.
Luke, thanks so much for having me.
I really appreciate everything that you and, well, the Texas Hog Hunters Association, all of us that are opposed to using this kaput poison to kill hogs and to introduce that to our ecosystem. I really do appreciate everything that you've done. I think it's important for the listeners that haven't heard you on our radio show to know that, you know, you own a company that uses the meat from wild hogs for a good reason. You know, you buy harvested wild hogs and process the meat. It's put to good use. So that's what I'm all about, is utilizing the wild hogs, reducing their numbers. But down in Austin, Will, since we last talked, there's been a lot that's gone on, hasn't it?
Yes, sir. And I can run you through a quick timeline if you want.
I'd like you to. I think we've painted a picture. People that may not have even heard about this kind of know what's going on so far. But tell us what's happened in the past week or so.
Yep. So February 21st, emergency rule, Agricultural Commissioner Sid Miller allowing warfarin or kaput is really the product to be used. We filed a lawsuit on Wednesday, March 1st, and March 2nd, we got a temporary injunction against Commissioner Miller's emergency rule. We were able to get a bill into the Legislative Council on March 3rd, which was Friday, and then as of March 7th, which is Tuesday, we were able to get the bill authored and filed in both the House and the Senate.
That's we're well underway. And Will, from what you have learned and being, as I say, on the cutting edge of all this, the response from the average citizen, from the hunter, for people that are concerned about the environment, not many people are for this, I don't think.
Yes, Luke, and that's really what we've discovered is, you know, we sort of spearheaded the beginning of the questioning and the battle along with Texas Hog Hunters Association. But there's a lot of people now that, you know, have no financial interest or really don't even deal with hogs that are worried about it. To give you an example, the environmentalists are coming out from the water side and the animal cruelty side. It takes these things 2 to 3 weeks to die once they have the poison in them. And then, of course, the agricultural industry is now concerned. The cattle industry is concerned. This kaput product has a blue dye in it, and it also has warfarin, which is the rat poison. And the company that makes this is saying that the poison is way too weak to hurt a cow. And we're not sure if that's true, but let's just assume that that's true for a second. But the dye is still going to get in the fat layer. And so the scenario is that a cow goes to the slaughterhouse and gets opened up and then it's blue on the inside. And we don't think the USDA is going to say, oh, it's not a big deal. There's probably not enough warfarin there to cause any trouble. We think that cow would get quarantined and potentially all the other cows where that came from. And so it's taken a life of its own beyond what, you know, my little industry and the hog hunters out there. It's a concern for several industries now.
Well, what I'm really proud of is the fact that, and I can say, although I'm an outdoor journalist, you know, I write a lot and have the radio shows, you know, I'm a hunter at heart. That's really what I'm all about. But I'm very proud of the fact that the layperson has gotten involved with this, and then people like you that are really in the know teamed up. The Texas Hog Hunters Association, which from what I know about them, are basically lay folks, but they all have a common desire to not poison our woods and waters, you know. So I'm very proud of all that. And once the people know, the average citizen learns the facts, I really, really, truly believe that you could poll the average citizen once they're informed. Now, with the facts that you've delved into, once they know the percentage of people that would be against it, I would bet would be way up there, possibly 75% or higher, that once the people know. But had you not gotten involved, Will, and the Texas Hog Hunters Association and all the efforts that's been done, had that not happened, and it just went on the press release, the information, okay, we're going to start using a poison, starts so-and-so. You know, it could have been a whole lot different scenario, couldn't it?
Well, it could have, and I have a good example of how the facts weren't properly construed in the beginning. So I had a call from a couple of farmers this week, and they said, are you ready for a class action lawsuit against your company? I said, well, absolutely not. I said, you know, what is this about? And they said, well, you're trying to shut down the use of poison. And they were pretty, you know, hot to trot about it. And I said, look, give me 5 minutes and let me tell you what I know. And then let's talk, you know, let's see how you feel about it. And now they're supporters of our cause, which our cause is to say, let's study poisons first. Let's have a state agency or a state educational institution study the poisons first. And so, you know, even if the idea of the poison sounds great, it's going to help take care of the hog problem. But when you start learning about the details of it, it's just so complicated and there's so many unknowns. And there are no scientific studies that are available to us. So that's just an example of someone's against it and they learn the whole situation. Then they say, well, you know what, maybe you're right. Let's study it first.
Exactly. You know, just like I'd mentioned, the facts, once the facts are brought out, and I'm not sure without the hunters and people like you that are in the know, you know, to spearhead this, I'm not sure it would have been brought out. It could possibly have been a nightmare and just been accepted as okay. You know, the hog numbers, I'm getting a little bit off topic here, but truthfully, I do believe this wholeheartedly. Does Texas have a hog problem? Yes, in areas. There are too many hogs. But I really, really believe that it's not the, where they have them in overabundance, it's bad. I mean, a hay meadow, the hogs get in there. Yeah, that's bad. They can't mow it. I mean, you know, they dig the craters or a corn. When you're planting several hundred acres of corn and the hogs get in there and find the corn field and get in there and start digging up each one of the seeds, that's bad. But overall, I really do think there's hot spots, Will, where there are real, real problems. And then the rest of the place, trapping and hunting, could actually not just trapping for a week or a month, but year-round trapping with the technology that we have today. That would be a very good solution. And then, you know, the hunters, if they could become organized with the landowners, you know, that would be awesome. Where a lot of complaints I hear is, well, it costs so much money, you know, most hog hunts on a ranch or whatever, a couple of hundred dollars a day, I guess. But you know, that could be circumvented through a group of landowners and hunters, couldn't it? That could all work together and be organized.
Yes, and once this whole legislative effort is complete, that's going to be a focus of me and several others, is to try to set up a program whereby there's insurance involved, there's licensing requirements such that the landowners feel very comfortable and the hunters have more land to hunt that doesn't cost them a ton of money. And, you know, there is certainly a hog hunting industry that we don't want to, take down. But there's also a huge hog problem that, you know, people are definitely willing to go out there and hunt these pigs and either eat them themselves or sell them or trap them and sell them. Or, you know, there's so many different ways to do it. But, you know, many of the lands in Texas haven't been opened up, and a lot of that's a result of lack of organization and, you know, lack of insurance, lack of trust. And so that'll be what we're going to try to work on once we get through, this legislative session.
You bet. Well, I'll tell you this, and we've discussed that if we could ever get, I'm in, and it's going to be important to get the word out. We'll do what we can on our radio shows and through the writing and all, and you know, networking with other outdoor journalists, and get the word out. And get this is a wonderful idea, in my opinion. Will, let's think about things that we've got a couple more minutes here, but I'd like to for you to. Is there any websites or anything that people might want to go to? I think we need to post Wild Boar Meats, that website here on KETR, on our website there, the KETR.org, so people could learn more about that. But anything else that we need to be aware of?
Well, yes. I mean, if you have Facebook, I would go to the Wild Boar Meat Company Facebook page or the Texas Hog Hunters Association page. And I'm not even involved in this one. But there is a nonprofit that was formed called Don't Poison Texas. And that nonprofit, the funds that are donated to that nonprofit are going to be utilized to help get a bill passed that basically puts the hold on the poison and requires a state agency to study it first. And so that's something anyone can do, is donate. I mean, even $5 or $10 helps if we get enough people. And Luke, I'll give you the link to that as well so we can put it underneath this story. But, you know, I would go to those Facebook pages and try to learn as much as you can. There's also a ton of articles out there now. If you just Google warfarin or kaput, K-A-P-U-T, hogs, there's a lot of good literature at this point out there now, from Amarillo to, you know, El Paso.
You bet, you bet. Well, and that's the thing. Information is so easy to glean to this day and time. But, yeah, just Google it. But it's Wild Boar Meats. Is it meats or meat?
Well, the Facebook page is Wild Boar Meat Company.
Wild Boar Meat Company. Just go to Facebook and like Wild Boar Meat Company. And the website?
And the website is www.wildboarmeats.com, and meats is plural.
Well, Will, we are actually out of time. Thank you a lot folks, Will was in Austin yesterday, and he'll probably be back, you know, weekdays here. And I want to look to you, Will, to keep everyone tuned in. Would you do that?
Yes, sir, and thank you so much for taking the time to hear me out.
You bet. Thank you very much. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you very much for tuning in to today's show. And remember, you can listen to the archive of all of our shows at KETR.org. Just go there and look under local programs. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoke & Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, the Texas Deer Association, Sun Optics USA, Purina Mills, and Darton Archery.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.